Finance Minister Tito Mboweni tabled the 2020 budget on the 26th of February. It has been described as the toughest budget since the dawn of democracy due to a combination of stagnating economic growth, declining tax revenues, and unsustainable fiscal pressures brought on by public sector wages and bailouts to state-owned companies. Joining me in studio is Bakang Letswete, the coverage sector head for state-owned companies at Absa Corporate Investment Banking. She was also the MC of Absa's post-budget review event, where a panel of senior public sector leaders and astute analysts discussed the implications of the national budget with a particular focus on our SOEs. Bakang, speak to me about why Absa held this event.
Thank you for providing Absa with this opportunity to put forward our story. We have this event on an annual basis. It's been the 8th year running, where after the budget speech in February of each year, Absa puts together a panel of clients, of stakeholders from the public and private sectors to discuss key themes that have come out of the budget speech. Mm-hmm. So this year, we deviated from the norm where we normally discuss the budget speech in broad, and people can come into the room, discuss and ask questions about anything really that talks to them coming out of the budget speech. This year, of particular importance, our state-owned companies, even in 2019, leading up to the medium-term budget policy statement in October, we saw entities including DINEL, SABC and SAA receiving bailouts from the contingency reserve, which is essentially a reserve for emergencies that government normally uses for incidents like floods. For the very first time, we saw the National Treasury tapping into the contingency reserve to bail out the distressed entities. We saw appropriations and huge amounts being directed to ESCOM, which is why we came up with the theme of a dialogue for change. And where we have a forum like this one, when we have important stakeholders, people who are actually leading our clients, where executives and staff members of the SOCs themselves who deal on a continuous basis with the banks, with the investors. Mm-hmm. And so it's their story. They are right in the middle of it. Our keynote speaker was the Deputy Minister of Finance, Dr. David Masondo, who had with him Deputy Director Generals from the National Treasury, who were playing a key role in putting together the budget for 2020. We also had investors who we had invited, and on the panel, one of the panelists was Olga Constantatos from Future Growth. So when we hold a forum like this one and bring together all of these people who interact throughout the year, one way or the other, having a discussion about state-owned companies, it is important to talk outside of the normal BAU, somebody asking for money, banks being asked to process borrowing requests, and investors being asked to put money on the table. So we feel as Absa that we play a role other than being a banker, other than being a lender and being asked to provide loans. We also provide important and facilitate important forums like this one to really come up with solutions. And I think we are quite aware that in 1.5 hours or in 2 hours, you are not going to come up with, you know, miraculous answers that will suddenly see our state-owned companies being run efficiently and being effective. But what it does is when people are calm, when there is no frustration of a lending requirement, when people are sitting together in a room, we are able to come up with different ideas and be able to see beyond the minds of the National Treasury and the shareholder departments and the state-owned companies. We are able to go behind the scenes and understand where some of these things are coming from, where the pressure points are.
You say that all the problems of SOEs won't necessarily be solved in a 1 hour session. But then what is the purpose then, or what is the outcome that you expect to come out of these sessions and these solutions that do come out? I mean, a lot of things were mentioned, such as ideas about increasing the transparency on the appointment of SOEC directors, as well as using the power of the PFMA to hold some of these directors who have contributed to the failure of SOEs accountable. So these are all stimulating conversations, but to what end?
What I want to use as an example is a point that actually came out of the session last week. Somebody asked the question about the relevance of some sections of the PFMA in its current format, which is something that you would never discuss if there is a meeting involving SOCs, banks, investors, and National Treasury, and we are discussing a funding requirement. Mm-hmm. At that point, there is no one really who says, let us look at whether the PFMA is still relevant. Let us look at whether there is something that we can take out of the Singapore Temasek Holdings case study. So this is really a forum where we are all sitting, we are calm, we are sober-minded, mm-hmm. and we are able to ask questions that we would ordinarily not be in a position to ask or even have time, you know, to debate. Mm. So we know that the answers really and much of the work that will lead to our state-owned companies seeing any traction happens outside of the forum. So the forum is really just to provide the platform to get as many ideas as possible and to get people to cross the line. So a country like ours, South Africa, and our democracy was actually the brainchild and born out of dialogue. People were sitting in a room. There was a CODESA. So throughout history of mankind, there is realization that at the end of the day, we need to sit and talk. And we might not be able to get a response or to get a solution after the first discussion or even after the fourth discussion, but we cannot stop talking. And on Friday, we realized and we noted some of the points that have never come out. I said to you, this is the eighth year that APSA is holding this post-budget speech forum. But there were so many fresh ideas that came out of last week's session that we've never had before. We had on the panel a representative from the presidency, Ms. Matsietsi Mogolo, who also pointed out that there is a need for government to understand what is it that the South African government wants to achieve from our state-owned entities. And she alluded to the fact that some of these enterprises, from the very first time when they were started, there was a particular mandate, there was a particular strategy and a reason why they were being set up. And we need to go back to the basics and understand some SOCs are put into place to perform, to be policy implementers. And through that comes infrastructure development. And so we need to go back and understand if we have an entity A, what is the primary reason why we have this entity? And when you understand that mandate and the strategy, you are able to put together a funding plan that is relevant and that is fit for purpose. So that discussion is one that we have never had, certainly not in a conversation that I have been involved in, and we are not leaving it there. We actually are taking it out of the forum, and we are forming work streams, and we are continuing discussions with all the various stakeholders that were in the room on Friday.
Just speaking on the work that you've currently done with SOEs, can you just explain to us just what work APSA has done in terms of partnering up with SOEs and ensuring that they fulfill their mandates?
APSA continues to be at the forefront of all the discussions that involve the key state-owned entities. When there is a discussion involving ESCOM, whether it's from a lending perspective or from an advisory perspective, at the shareholder level, at the SOC level, we are taking part. We are playing an active role. We are not there just to lend and provide balance sheet, as I indicated. The division in APSA that was hosting and that had put together this forum, it's not just the state-owned company's portfolio. This was a public sector hosted forum. The public sector team in APSA comprises of a team that looks after state-owned companies. There is a team that looks after the national departments. There is a team that looks after the metropolitan municipalities. Okay. And we also have got our colleagues in the other part of the bank that looks after the local municipalities and other state-owned entities. We heard when the Deputy Minister of Finance mentioned on Friday that there is more than 700 state entities. So we are involved in all of these spheres. We also, in our portfolio, bank and have got direct relationships with the DFIs, the likes of DBSA, IDC and the Land Bank. And on a frequent basis, we meet with these entities to discuss how, as the financial services sector, we can play an active role. There are incidents where in a transaction, there is a level of risk that a commercial bank cannot take. Mm-hmm. However, a DFI can step in and take that risk. There is also a division within APSA that provides advisory services. And on a continuous basis, we go and we pitch ideas. And so we play a role. We find comprehensive and opportunities, really, to partner with the government and with the state-owned entities apart from lending.
Thank you, Bakang. She is the coverage sector head for state-owned companies at APSA Corporate Investment Banking.